Time for a little hockey talkie. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Leafs are able to get the puck out into the center ice area, and it's stolen. Here's a chance now for Toronto, and Engvall in with a pass. They score! Zach Hyman set up by Engvall, and the Maple Leafs shorty makes it 3-1 here midway through the first.
Yes, back on track. Zach Hyman scored twice. Leafs smothered the Blues 5-2 to start off their four-game road trip in style. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga, joined alongside Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can find us on Twitter. Shout out to Sam McKee and Josh Santos for their hard work behind the glass. The Maple Leafs improved to 5-3-0 under Sheldon Keefe in a rather complete effort, notwithstanding a couple moments in this one, Gord.
Yeah, not a lot of moments. You're right. With the St. Louis Blues, there's always going to be moments, going to be concerns. They come at you pretty hard. They came at you pretty physical at the end as well, but that's really didn't
we
impact
the fight, Gord.
We saw a fight. Yes, we did. We saw a fight, which, you know, and a momentum gainer a little bit, but good on Travis Dermott. He took some crap from Troy Brouwer, got away with it, and so he went at it. There's really not those heavyweight tilts anymore so much around the National Hockey League, so something we don't normally see. I think a couple of years ago, it was Nazem Kadri and David Perron when he played on St. Louis was the first fight of the year. So what we saw, though, out the gate, I love the way they played. This was more like the call. Like, if you play like you did against Colorado the other night, even though you lost, I'll take my chances all the time playing that way. Both teams came out like a house on fire. I mean, there were great chances within the first 2-3 minutes, big saves on both ends. And then the Maple Leafs, and Nick, we said it. Like, I'm sorry, you know, when Mike Babcock talked about that 3-1 masterpiece win over the Los Angeles Kings, that's not the Leafs style if they're going to win. Though you can win games like that, but you've got to have that offensive thrust, that offensive firepower. And it was there. And Auston Matthews, who last five games just has one assist and really needed to get going, he got a couple tonight as well. So this was a fun game for Maple Leaf fans. It really was. And when you least expect it, when you're in a bit of a funk, and it's not a big funk, it's just since they went to Buffalo and these last two games against Colorado and Philadelphia, and you're a lot of people writing off, oh my goodness, in St. Louis, it's a tough place to win. It absolutely is. But when you least expect it, quite often you come up with that kind of win against one of the better teams.
Yeah, and I'd rather, you know, you're pretty bang on with that assessment, I would say, in total, because I think that's the brand and style we want to see and Sheldon Keefe wants to see from his team. We saw the pace, a bit of a physical nature at times in this game, and maybe it's a good opponent to play in the St. Louis Blues. So again, if you're just tuning in, Maple Leafs start off their four-game road trip with a 5-2 win here in St. Louis behind a two-goal effort from Zach Hyman and Auston Matthews. Jason Spezza, the other goal. So 5-2 win here against the Blues. And, you know, among the things I noticed in this game was early on, and the fact that Frederik Andersen, again, played an instrumental role in this victory because he made some big-time saves early on when it was a 0-0 game, Gord.
He is going to play 72 games this year. I mean, you know, just in the short term, I think everyone's really agreed that it was a good idea that he played back-to-back against Colorado, Philadelphia. I believe Michael Hutchinson will get one more crack at it somewhere on this road trip, but if he doesn't, I'm not concerned. I just think in the short term, you've really got to play Freddie, and then you can rest him more on practices. Like, he doesn't need to take 50 shots at a practice. No. I just think that's where you can go about it a bit differently. I think later in the season, the mental part maybe wears you down a little bit, but man, oh man. When he's in goal, you've got excellent goaltending. Jordan Binnington, when he's in goal, you have excellent goaltending. He had for him an ordinary game tonight. First time he's been pulled as a starter for the St. Louis Blues, so the Leafs caught a little bit of a break that way. But, yeah, the timely big save by Freddie Andersen cannot be emphasized too much.
Now, the other prevailing story of this hockey game, special teams, the Blues 0-for-4, not a good look for Mark Savard, former co-host of this program, and the Maple Leafs power play, 2-for-2 in this hockey game, which we have been curious to see. They haven't been drawing many penalties, happen again in this game, and I mean, St. Louis is one of the more disciplined teams, I would say, in this league, but the Maple Leafs made them pay, and namely Jason Spezza, who continues to produce here, Gord.
I was really happy because, as we well know, as documented, the next day, on Thursday, Spezza went to great lengths to talk about how pissed he was about that Colorado game turning on that power play faux pas that he and Morgan Rielly were involved with. And things happen. I think people at the time, you're going, what the hell's going on? But you understand mistakes happen. Certainly Morgan Rielly and Jason Spezza more than know what they're doing in the NHL. So it was just really unfortunate because it's true. It was a momentum breaker that way. So it was nice to see him contribute, rewarding or basically acknowledging or rewarding the Sheldon Keefe's decisions that way to give him more ice time and showing that it's valid. It's valid.
Yeah, definitely. And again, in terms of that power play, it was working wonders in this game. They're humming the puck along. And, you know, at times they just get a bit complacent in the neutral zone. Like, I know the zone entry is of vast importance, but when you have that skill level, they don't have the urgency in the neutral zone. And I think we saw that in spurts in this game. But as you know, like, it's all about practice. And again, I lamented the fact this team hasn't had many opportunities. They're not drawing many penalties. So the more they get to work with these units, let's not forget Mitch Marner is getting back up to snuff since returning to the lineup earlier this week. It's going to take some time, not to mention Tyson Berry, but I think all in all, the power play looked way better than it has in the last couple of weeks, Gord.
Yeah, it really did. I think, you know, Nick, just the way they started the game really was great. He started, yeah. The Mike Babcock line started in time. They were invested. They were going. They were flying. They were skating. And I think in a lot of ways that, you know, emanates to the power player. Maybe some other games it didn't, which it brings you down. Like, that's the thing. When you get momentum and then you continually have power plays that don't go anywhere, you get kind of, it can change the flow and momentum of the game, where tonight the power play kind of dovetailed off the strong play they were playing with 5-on-5.
Yeah, definitely. So the Maple Leafs win this one 5-2, the final, starting off their four-game road trip with a victory. Now 5-3-0 under Sheldon Keefe, still to come here on this road trip at Vancouver, at Calgary, at the Edmonton Oilers. So taking a look at Western Canada for sure. But the prevailing story is certainly Zach Hyman, 2 goals, Austin Matthews, 2 goals. And when you look at Zach Hyman, we talked about it a lot in the first month or month and a half of time that he missed to start this season. He brings a lot of intangibles to the table. And I think by far, you look at that second line or the first line, whatever you want to call it, Tavares, Hyman, and Marner back together, and they look like the old line of old for the most part in this hockey game.
It would be a thing that Mike Babcock would kid about, saying, you coaches, I know you got the lines together and you figure there's a better fit than Zach Hyman on that line, but he has always maintained that you need the one digger there, and he keeps talking about Pavel Datsyuk, said, I don't need 3 Pavel Datsyuks on the same line. Somebody's got to go get the puck. And I know Sheldon Keefe the other night moved the lines around a little bit and this time put him back. And it was Zach Hyman who was the guy, was the scorer. And they've had a special chemistry going. And the argument had been, well, yeah, John Tavares and Mitch Marner will have a special chemistry with anybody. But it seems, even though it's just been little snippets that Zach Hyman hasn't been there, that, yeah, the three of them are. I mean, that's been the most consistent trio all last season. I know it's not a long time because Tavares hasn't been here a long time, but there's something special about those guys that works.
And speaking of the Leafs 5-on-5, we got a couple of different looks. Of course, Andreas Johnsson placed on LTIR. I think they'll look at him once again following Christmas and that break. But Pontus Aberg, his highly anticipated debut, one of the billion fringe signings they made in the offseason to address sort of
first
the cap situation.
First Leafs name Pontus, right?
Yeah. Whereas Ben Andres is number 46. I know you're waiting to find out what number he would wear. He's wearing 46.
Okay, thank you.
What did you think of Matthews, Nylander, now the Pontus Aberg show there?
I remember him in Nashville and that. Yeah. He's been around a little
bit. He's had moments in his career. We'll say that.
Yeah, and that's really what you're going to get. When you're hard-pressed against the cap, you're going to get guys that are kind of auditioning all the time and filling in here, filling in there. And with Johnsson hurt, it all of a sudden opens up some salary cap space. The fact they put him on the long-term injured list. So what did Aberg get there? I thought he played okay tonight. Just trying to quickly look. So he got plus one, 12 minutes, 3 seconds, no shots on net. And but I liked him. Had a little bit of jam, kind of moving around that. What can I say?
I just think it's funny that you bring it. Like, I get he was the leading scorer in the AHL, but he gets the call-up and he's on the top line of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I like that.
Yeah?
I like that twofold. One is that when you're calling somebody up for your American Hockey League team, you got to make sure it's the right player. There's nothing worse than I don't think there is anybody like this with the Marlies right now, but because you drafted someone higher, you know, you've got more invested in that person reaching fruition in the NHL, so you kind of overlook who's playing better with your American Hockey League team. And this pisses the other guys off on the team, and it just kind of shows, wait a sec, like, shouldn't our play dictate a lot about getting a chance? Isn't that where we're down here to play, you know, real well, and I'm the best player right now, but you're calling this other guy up because he was a first-round pick at one point. And the other thing is, when you call somebody up, because before, or quite often, the guy goes on the fourth line, gets like 3 minutes, every time goes out there, he's playing with two of the weaker players, and plays so infrequently that is obsessed with just not giving up a goal, so really doesn't contribute anything, just kind of gives you some energy there for a couple minutes when you're looking for a break. You put somebody else on a better line and gives him a chance to show what he can do. And also, like I used to say to guys when they came up in the NHL, don't try to do everything yourself. Like, quite often, I want to be a one-man show. No, you know, you're playing with better players. So you may find a niche in the NHL by understanding that, playing with better players and utilizing that. And that, so I like when you get a chance, when someone's called up and gets a chance to play on a decent line.
That is Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Leafs back in the win column with this 5-2 win here in St. Louis. Game one of a four-game road trip. Next up, a Tuesday night matchup with the Vancouver Canucks, who are victorious in a 6-5 thriller in OT earlier today against the Buffalo Sabres on home ice. By the way, Luke Fox Jukebox himself of Sportsnet.ca will drop by from
Luke
Enterprise
Fox
Center.
Jukebox.
That's his Twitter
really?
Handle.
Is it really? Okay.
Yes. We'll find out if you got a deal on a car, Enterprise Center. So there you go. So Luke Fox is coming up on this 5-2 win. We'll go inside the locker room as well. And another prevailing story and theme for me, the first periods and starting on time. How often do we hear that phrase under the old head coach? But the Maple Leafs scored. The numbers are astounding. They've outscored their opponents in the Sheldon Keefe era in the first period 13-2, and it continued in this one.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah, Mike Babcock said start on time with the Toronto Maple Leafs and Sheldon
they
Keefe.
Never
they
did.
Started on time. I love that Sheldon Keefe era. It's not inaccurate, but it's not been a long period of time. But that's – and getting the first goal of the game, the ninth time this season or so, what? You know, it's just been staggering about you put yourself behind the eight ball by not doing that. And tonight when they got the first goal, I'm listening to the stat. The St. Louis Blues have not lost this season – when they've scored the first goal of the game. When they don't, they're about a 500 team. So, I mean, it makes sense. It's logical. It's not like we're being Einstein here about getting the first goal of the game, but also having that strong first period, because that mentality becomes you are no longer, you are chasing rather than being chased.
Yeah.
And it's a very different mentality.
And obviously, there's so many positives, Gord, to take from this game, and it's good to see this team scoring goals, because that was the big story coming into this one. They jumbled up their lines because their offense has gone, and their well had gone dry, but everybody was doing it. The power play, they scored a shorthanded goal in this game, and I thought that was a great play by Pierre Engvall. 2-0s must be the most difficult breakaway in hockey because, you know, who knows what you're going to do, but, you know, thought process to be to pass it over. The goalie usually is going to think about that, but Engvall was sort of deceptive in that play, and I think he's been pretty steady since coming up from the AHL. How would you assess Pierre Engvall in this one?
You know, one thing he did as well was, it's funny saying that the 2-0 is the worst kind of breakaway, yeah. What the other player has to do, because you can't communicate so much verbally, but has to provide another alternative to the guy on the breakout, because I just find, or the breakaway, because I quite often find that too often that they are, the other person doesn't offer something. So they actually take themselves out of it because you're almost so excited. And then the guy with the puck is obsessed trying to find out what the other guy's doing and slows down to take maybe a shot that isn't as good. In this case, Zach Hyman made it very clear. His stick was on the ice, and basically the pass was made almost right across the crease, and he tapped it in.
Yep, and it was money in the bank for Zach Hyman in this game. 2 goals, Austin Matthews, 2 goals, a 5-2 win here for the Maple Leafs in St. Louis. We'll hit the break. Other side, of course, we'll get to Luke Fox from Enterprise Center. We'll go inside the locker room. The Maple Leafs starting off in successive fashion, game one of four here on this road trip. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Blue and white at night. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Stick handles up on the right side. Gets a return pass in front of the net. Marner with it. The shot scores! A bouncing puck in front. And the quick hands of Austin Matthews tips it into the net. And the Leafs have a 5-1 lead.
Well, further proof right there that Austin Matthews is really good at hockey. 2 goals for Matthews, 2 for Hyman. Leafs take down the Blues 5-2. Welcome back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. And Gord, there's plenty of goals Austin Matthews scores, and you're like, my goodness. It's amazing all the great goal scorers in this game, not in just this era, but in the past, where the puck just seems to find them. Like, that hit off a Blues defense and right on the stick of Matthews and went top cheese.
Yeah, and then the puck's bouncing as well. So it seems to find him, but also it's a bouncing puck, and he's able to hit the bouncing puck and tuck it in the corner. And, you know, Nick, he had last five games only one assist, and he'd had some flybys. He'd had some questionable two-way play. I like the fact that after the Philadelphia game, when he made the team accountable, he made himself accountable, as he should have. And then tonight you saw just those glimpses. Like, you know, there's just very few people that can handle the puck like Auston Matthews can and can wire the puck like Auston Matthews can. So we saw a return of it tonight with those two goals. And as the Leafs continue to try to get out of this kind of mini funk, you're gonna need more results like tonight from Auston Matthews and hope for them. But I've always just really enjoyed watching him play, watching that skill level. But there had been, I don't even call it a lack of buy-in, there just had been a lack of something from him the last few games.
It's called the common denominator. You know what that is? His name's Pontus Aberg.
Pontus Aberg got him going. That's correct.
Common denominator.
Yes, the Pontus. He does sound almost religious, doesn't he?
Yeah,
like the Pontiff, Pontus.
It's close enough in my books. If we're looking for a nickname for Pontus Aberg, who made his debut in this game, that's what we're going with. But Auston Matthews certainly overdue for a breakout. Happened in this game, two goals. And here's what Matthews had to say after this 5-2 win in St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, defending cup champs, it's always tough coming in this building. So I got off to a good start. Freddie made some big saves and, you know, just try to roll all four lines throughout the whole game.
Two goals for you. You hit the post a couple of times. Did it feel like it was an evening where the puck was just following you around?
A little bit. I mean, especially that second goal, just kind of hit a couple bodies and then ended up right there bouncing and I just tried to chip it in. So I had another couple chances. Like I said the other day, just got to keep shooting the puck and, you know, hope for it to go in. Well, yeah, I mean, just competing for those pucks. They got some big, long, strong D, and I think just moving on that first possession was key for us, taking care of it down low and trying to play in their end as much as possible.
Any explanation for why you guys seem to be doing much better in the first period, so getting off to better starts?
I don't have any explanation for that, to be honest with you. Sorry.
How do you think Aberg fit in with your line?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of a work in progress. I mean, he said it himself after the first period, a little shaky, a little bit nervous, but I think that's kind of to be expected. And, you know, the more practice time and, you know, we got three games on this road trip, the more we kind of spend time together on and off the ice, I think we can kind of read off each other a little bit better and mesh more and more. But, you know, I thought as the game went on, he got a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more confident out there, which is great. So we just want to continue that moving forward.
I know when you're getting chances yourself personally, not scoring, you know you're getting those, but is there a little bit of relief
when
the puck goes one or two times for you tonight?
Yeah, it's a huge relief. I mean, it's, you know, kind of gets you going a little bit, get your confidence back. And, I mean, like I said, I just going to try to get my chances, shoot the puck as much as I can. And, I mean, eventually I think it's going to go in. So, you know, it's nice to get a couple tonight and hopefully just keep going moving forward.
There's been so much made about the grit and the toughness of this team. Travis Dermott, of all people, gets the first fighting major of the season. Is he a good fighter? What do you think?
I'm not sure much has been made of our grit, but I don't know. I'm not sure he was really looking for it there, but it happened. And you know, I think their guy was trying to get their team going, obviously, after their goal. And, you know, Dermy, you know, held his own and stood up for himself, so good for him. And but, yeah, I wasn't really expecting that out of him.
All right, there you have it. Auston Matthews, two goals in this 5-2 win against the St. Louis Blues. It's Nick Alberga joined alongside Gord Stellick on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Let's go down now to Enterprise Center in St. Louis and join Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca to break this all down. Luke, what did you think of this 5-2 win tonight against St. Louis?
Well, I think the score didn't really reflect quite how tight the game was. I mean, the Blues were in it. It's just, you know, you throw the first three shots on Jordan Binnington and three of the first four go in and four of the first eight go in and it's pretty much a wrap from then. But kudos to the Leafs for holding tight and, you know, not letting the game slip away from them. They haven't beat too many really good opponents, and this was the top team in the West. They hadn't lost consecutive games in regulation all year. This was a real test. And, you know, there was a lot of talk heading into this one about how crucial this road trip is going to be for them. You know, if they lay an egg on this road trip, they could really start to play themselves out of the playoff race a little bit. So it was important. This game meant way more to Toronto than it meant to St. Louis. So good on them for coming up with a win, and the puck went in the net for them.
Yeah, you're right about, you know, kind of an unfortunate night catching Jordan Binnington tonight. He gets pulled for the first time in his St. Louis career as a starter. And but the other part is that Mike Babcock's line start on time. And it's an interesting stat, Luke, that you know they're 13-2, is that right? They've outscored opponents in the first period. And Austin Matthews, you just heard from him, he really didn't have an explanation about why they have that stat in the Sheldon Keefe era, but maybe it's as simple as starting on time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a big difference. It's been a 180 turnaround. I think in the I saw a stat in the last 8 games with Babcock, they were minus 11 goal differential in the first period, and now they're playing with the lead. And I was the one who asked Austin that, and he didn't have an explanation. But Zach Hyman, you know, kind of said that he thinks it was a problem that they knew that they needed to address, and they've done that. They've taken great strides towards doing that. And Freddie Anderson was saying that it completely changes the complexion of the game. They feel like they don't have to press. They don't have to force stuff into the middle. They can just wait for opportunities when they have a lead. And it just takes the pressure off at both ends of the ice. So, you know, kudos to them for taking a glaring weakness and turning it around to a strength over the past couple weeks. And I would throw in special teams as well. That was an area where they were absolutely horrible in that last little stretch that led to Babcock's firing, and both the PK and the power play have taken a giant leap here. You know, they got 2 power play goals. They scored a shorthanded beautiful one by Hyman tonight. And so both the special team units have improved, and, you know, Keith has done the unthinkable, which was take Morgan Riley off the top unit. So it was interesting that Riley and Spezza connected for a goal on the second unit tonight.
Yeah, the depth scoring is going to be vital, and I think you're right in that assessment when you look at this game in a nutshell. I mean, a lot of positives certainly to grab from this win, and the special teams, the scoring in the first period as well. And you look at that power play specifically. Have they, in your eyes, showed signs of turning a corner here? Because I think we've been waiting and waiting. I know Marner's back in this lineup, but have they showed signs of maybe turning things around here?
Yeah, and I think that's part of it, right? They finally have their full complement of forwards. I think it's also just a bit contagious, right? If you go a bunch of games and your power plays not getting chances, and when you do, you get stymied, you start tightening up your grip on the stick a little bit. It starts to creep into your head. Maybe you try to mix things up and you try to force stuff. So I think the fact that it's been rolling a bit smoother here for them is fantastic. I wrote about today, though, they're not getting that many opportunities. Like, their power play, they have so many weapons on that power play that they need to draw more penalties and get more power play opportunities. So I think that'll be the next challenge for this group.
Subject we always ask you about, and I know we ask about it too much, but it's the subject du jour. Do you think Michael Hutchinson or somebody else gets a start on this trip? I mean, that there's no back-to-backs. They're Tuesday in Vancouver, Thursday in Calgary, Saturday against Edmonton, then just one game in the next 5 days. Do you think they ride Freddie?
Well, so Keith was asked about this after the last game, the loss to Colorado, and he said that he intended to get Hutchinson a start as kind of a makeup for giving Freddie both ends of the last back-to-back. And I know the organization is really concerned about overworking Freddie. But, you know, the fact that these are kind of nicely spaced out, I don't, even though they said they intend to give him a start, I don't think there's any guarantee. I mean, the points are so crucial. So I could see them deviating from that plan and giving Freddie a full run. And, you know, the short answer is we'll see. But it's become a really interesting storyline because they only have 1 point from the backup all season, and you don't make the playoffs if that happens. It's just, it's virtually impossible. So they're going to have to find a solution here.
Yeah, all I'll say is Kyle Dubas is hoping he wakes up on December 25th and there's a backup goalie under his tree. But not least, Pontus Aberg makes his Maple Leafs debut. And of course, that was a big theme to this offseason for Toronto, is grabbing as many guys as possible who can play in both the AHL and the NHL and shuffle through waivers. What did you make of his debut playing on that top line tonight?
It was okay. I don't think it was great. There were a couple times I noticed he kind of got caught out there and probably took a longer shift than necessary. He looked relatively comfortable considering it was his first National Hockey League game all season. You know, he's bounced around for a bunch of different organizations. He didn't look completely out of place, but he didn't wow me either. And, you know, Keith was asked about his play, and he said, you know what, one game you can't really judge a guy there. So that kind of leads me to believe maybe he'll get another shake at it in Vancouver on Tuesday.
All right, we'll see what happens on Tuesday. Thanks so much for this, Luke. Really appreciate it.
Okay, have a great night, gents.
You as well. There's Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca, a 5-2 win for the Maple Leafs on the road in St. Louis. And I think we often do forget the Blues won the Stanley Cup last year. A couple of inspiring moments during this broadcast. Layla Anderson, enough said with that name. And certainly the Leafs have played St. Louis tough in both games this year. Earlier this year was a really, really close game that the Blues were able to outlast the Maple Leafs at the end. But again,
maybe the best game of the season, yeah, even though the Leafs lost. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, you could take positives and solace in the fact that you're staying pretty damn competitive against arguably the best team in hockey because they won last year.
Yeah, the only difference is I won't get to see Mark Savard this time.
Yeah,
he is, of course, assistant coach with the St. Louis Blues. And that's why it's funny. Auston Matthews just mentioned about having trouble in St. Louis, and off the top of my head, I don't know how they've done of late, because he only would have been there for the fourth time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go there once a year, but it was the St. Louis Blues are Boston, Washington have just been on a tear since game number one, and if you can play an entertaining game in a close game or actually beat them, you've done something.
I agree, and I think the Blues are one of those teams you want to mimic in general, because they seem to extract value out of every player on that roster, and I like the fact that every player on that team knows their role. Like, Vladimir Tarasenko is their best player, skill-wise at least, and not in this lineup, hasn't been for almost 20 games, and this team has been unbelievable. I think they've lost four times in regulation, 13 wins. Like, they've been so steady and so strong, and that, again, is part and parcel to the coaching staff, what they put in place, and also the goaltending situation. So credit to the Maple Leafs. A tough one on the road. They get the job done. A 5-2 win now, 5-3-0 under Sheldon Keefe. Let's hear what the Leafs bench boss had to say after this one.
Sheldon, historically not a building where the Leafs have come in and had success. What was the difference in this game for you?
Well, we were able to score goals. Obviously, in that first period, the puck fell in the net for us, so that was good. And it wasn't without some big saves, you know, right away, right off the start by Freddie. So it was big saves early, puck fell in the net, and then we were really good on special teams.
Sheldon, I know you were saying yesterday you weren't worried about Austin and his, because he's getting the chances, but what's it like when he does put a couple in and gets the 5-2 monkey off his back, if you will?
Yeah, it's gotta feel good for him. As I said, I didn't think about it 1 second. At full confidence it's going to fall in for him. He's too good of a player for it not to, and he was getting too good of chances for it eventually not to go in. It's just the ebbs and flows of the season. But a lot of little things. I think he's been doing really well, and you know, he gets rewarded for it today.
How much did you like the play with the puck tonight and then the ability to get it back?
Yeah, I thought at times really good, and then other times not as good. So I think, you know, there'll be a lot of examples for us through this game of things that we can do better. I thought the Colorado game was better for us in that regard all the way through. We didn't get rewarded offensively in the Colorado game. I thought some of the bounces would fall our way. Maybe that's us getting the reward for the last game a little bit. But, there's some things that we could have done better away from the puck and just managing the game when we had the lead, all those types of things. Playing against a team such as this, you know, they make it hard on you. You know they're going to push back. I'd like to see us handle that a little bit better through the start of the second and the start of the third.
How the full arsenal now with all your, you know, offensive weapons all healthy and playing, you know, what kind of different look is it giving you right now?
Well, it makes us a deeper team, makes us a more dangerous team, because it's the ability to move things around a little bit, because it's the ability to have even more weapons on that first power play unit. You know, it makes us a better team, obviously. You know, that's the Those are important people. They're difference makers, and when we have them all in the lineup, you know, it gives us an advantage for sure.
What did you see from the start of that third period that made you want to call the timeout early?
Well, it wasn't so much anything that I saw. It was just I wish I could have called one early in the second period. We couldn't get a whistle. Just the way the period was going, and then when we finally did, it was a penalty kill. So I just kind of let it slide. The third, obviously, we're talking about trying to play the third period in the offensive zone and trying to win shifts, and we weren't doing that. And they score, so it's a chance to just, you know, stall the momentum a little bit, and then also just a chance for me to reflect on, you know, talk to the team and reflect on how we had started and the fact that we want to get better.
What goes through your mind when you see Dermott engaged there towards the end? The team hasn't had a fighting major all year.
Not too much. I mean, you know, it's just Derms is a competitive guy and he's standing up for himself there. You know, just it's going to happen periodically throughout a game. It's nothing that I think much about.
What do you think of Aberg tonight, and is one game enough to really assess where he might stay in the lineup, or might you move him around a little?
I don't think one game is quite enough, nor do I think it was the type of game where you really get a proper sense, but I did think there was moments in the game he did good things, whether it was him tracking, skating back to our end, or skating onto a puck, or making a play. It was a, you know, good game for him to get his feet wet in terms of what we'll do going forward. Not quite sure. We have some time to get that sorted out.
All right, there you have it. Sheldon Keefe following his fifth victory as a head coach in the National Hockey League. A 5-2 win for the Maple Leafs. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Selick here on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. I think that's fair. The Pope Pontus Aberg, if you will, just one kick of the can. I'm sure we'll get another look coming up on Tuesday. But all in all, I think that's what they're in search for here is depth scoring and getting everybody going at once. And we know Andreas Johnsson out of this lineup right now.
Yeah, they're looking for the new version of Trevor Moore, right?
Yeah. Who should be back soon, it sounds
like.
But
yeah, but who came up and really kind of impressed from the word go, because there's been flashes in the pan, but not really sustaining it. You know, the Nick Batans of the world has now, you know, got claimed, to, or no, the Nick Batans of the world, but also
went to Winnipeg, yeah.
Getting claimed, but those kind of guys, just those kind of guys up and down and what have you. You know, one thing I did find interesting, he talked about, I liked his use of a timeout in the third period. You know, it was 5-2. Yeah. Blues had cut the margin from 5-1 to 5-2. And we know what happened with the Montreal Canadiens when they blew a 4-goal lead to the New York Rangers. Boston did it to Florida once. Four times it's happened this year, a team has blown a 4-goal lead, and that's a killer. I mean, that is something you look back at the season, and if you don't make the playoffs, you point to that game. And he's done this a couple of times, that he uses the timeout early, like when he wants it, doesn't try to save it to the end, just to get a bit of a refresher, reminder, and, you know, recalibration for the team.
That's why I sort of laughed when we finally saw the first fighting major of the season for the Maple Leafs, and it was probably a moment you didn't want to scrap. And a veteran play by Troy Brouwer, who was just picked up by the St. Louis Blues, and Travis Dermott, who is not somebody you see drop the mitts quite frequently. The Leafs in general don't do that. But at that moment in the game, I think you got to leave that alone, Gord.
Yeah, you really do.
Like,
you
it was, a 5-1 hockey game, and they're looking. Brouwer's, he knows his role. He knows what he's done, and he's been around the league for a while, right?
Yeah, he's putting out, he's trying to light a fire with the home audience there, home crowd, and the Leafs play it. And it's funny, because Austin Matthews said, when he was asked about the Leafs, the discussion of the Leafs' lack of grit, and he goes, well, I'm not aware of that. Well, no, that is a discussion. People can agree or disagree about it, but that is a discussion about the Maple Leaf grit, and their constant fallback is, we'll make you pay on the power play. And, you know, that's the same thing kind of with the Travis Dermott thing in some ways. Like, if he drew a penalty, like he probably should have, Troy Brouwer, then you've got 2 minutes for the team. In this case, he's kind of in a no-win situation that he gets whacked twice. So just a mini brawl or mini fight ensues. But again, and we said it there, like it's advantage hometown St. Louis Blues when they do that.
After all, it did work out, a 5-2 win here for the Maple Leafs. Zach Hyman, a big piece, 2 goals in this one. Let's hear what he had to say in his post-game scrum.
What allowed the offense to come alive this evening?
Just good puck movement, I think. I think we got on them early in the first period. Mitchie made a great pass to me on the first goal, and then Pierre made a great pass in the second, so set up pretty good.
What do you think the PK's done better of late?
I think we have confidence. I think that I don't think that we were overly, you know, terrible before, but I think that once you string a couple kills together, you start to build confidence, and then
and then you start to roll. So I think we're on a little bit of a roll here, so we got to keep going.
What stands out about Engvall on that PK?
Well, he can skate. He's big. He's got that long stick, so he really is disruptive. And you saw him kill, I think 20 to 30 seconds there by skating it back, and then having that little rush. So he's just a big guy who can skate really well, and he's smart out there.
Is that confidence on the PK then, Zach, leading to being a little more aggressive when you're down a man and that sort of thing?
Yeah, no, I think that you have to be aggressive, but you have to be, pick your times when to be aggressive. Smart. Yeah, you have to be smart about it, and you have to go as a four-man unit because you obviously are down a man, so you can get outnumbered pretty easily, and then if the things aren't, don't look too good for you, so you got to go together, and you have to pick your spots.
A few different tactical things we're all getting used to here, but what's it like when Sheldon calls the timeout after the second goal when you guys are still in control of the game?
I think that was a great use of the timeout. I mean, we're still up three goals, but it's the first three shifts of that period weren't good for us, so just to reset and just get refocused and go out there and play our game.
What's the challenge there against a good team? You do jump out to an early lead, and then you're trying to protect it, but you still push for it.
Just sticking with it. I think that, when you have a lead, it's easy to get away and not, take your foot off the gas a little bit, right? So I think that as a team, we're starting to learn how to play with a lead better. I think that, that's really important as you progress in the season and as games become tighter, playing with a lead and not letting up, playing as if the game, is tied and is really important. So I think that today we did, I think we did an okay job. I think that we still have room for improvement, but I thought we were good.
I know you were hurt at the beginning. Why do you think the team is doing better in first periods and getting off to better starts than it did in October?
Because we were bad before, so now it's better. And I think it's better than, I guess, how we started the games before. So I think that was just a little bit uncharacteristic. It happens in a season where, at the start of the game, sometimes you just aren't ready, I guess. And now... the more games you play, the more chances you have to be ready. So I think we're taking advantage of the first period now, and I think we're more aware of, how important it is to score that first goal or to get out on top. And you learn from your mistakes, I guess, right?
What can an effort like this now do for the club that's going to Vancouver? They offer practice out of the game Tuesday.
I think that these past two games we played against some really good teams. We played well enough to win the Colorado game, and then obviously we played well enough to win today's game and got the win. So it's a great way to start off our road trip. We have, the Western Canada. We have three more games here, so it's a big road trip for us.
Don't put it off.
Call Sokol off.
There is Zach Hyman.
My family had trouble.
I knew you'd have a response.
Hey, you know what, Zach Hyman? He should have said. He's modest. What's the difference about the starts? I'm back. You could have said that. The team was sucked earlier.
I wrote a children's book.
Yeah, I was injured, and now I'm back. And that's where the team's off to a solid start. Well, he certainly was a big reason they were tonight, that's for sure.
And so that's a wrap. A 5-2 win here for the Maple Leafs in St. Louis. A four-game road trip underway in the right foot. And certainly I think we're at a pivotal point in this season. Clearly a lot of losses piled up early on. Next up is the Vancouver Canucks. And anytime the Leafs go out west, it seems like it's a home game after home game for that team.
Yeah, and of course, we will be on for Leafs Nation pregame for that and have all that. So we look forward to chatting, setting up the game. It was funny because I work with bad Leaf teams by and large record-wise in the 1980s, but you went out west. And even in Edmonton, where they were killing it, winning Stanley Cups, they were these diehard Leafs. I used to feel sorry for them because we weren't a very good team. But man, oh man, it was always fun and entertaining and exciting. So that's going to be it all this week. I mean, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary. They're one trip through, and there'll be a whole lot of Leaf fans.
Leafs fans travel well for sure, and a big night for Austin Matthews, two goals. Zach Hyman, two goals. A 5-2 win against Mark Savard, St. Louis Blues. That scored Stelic. I'm Nick Alberga. Many thanks to Sam McKee, Josh Santos, and J.R. Manitad. The Maple Leafs defeating St. Louis, the defending Stanley Cup champions, 5-2 in St. Louis. We'll chat again on Tuesday night. The Leafs visiting the Vancouver Canucks. Take care.